VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. But friends, the amount of paper and stories that have been compiled and put together here, my thanks to Sandy for doing so, but I've got enough for two or three programs. So we're going to talk a little bit faster today, cover a number of items. We'll try and shrink the amount of information in the individual stories in order to cover a wide gamut of issues. But I look at this set of stories and just finished reviewing many of them, and I asked, folks, are you praying for our nation? How badly we need prayer. How badly we need revival in this land. How badly we need another great awakening to take place. And that is very evidenced by this very aspect as we look at all that's taking place, the rhetoric that's increasing, the violence that's increasing, the rioting, the looting that's taking place, and being fanned by a number of politicians here in our state, some running for very high office. So we'll delve into those issues today, but can I implore you to be praying daily for this nation, be praying daily for the November 3rd election. Well, let's begin with Newsmax.com. President Donald Trump accepted the Republican nomination for a second term yesterday with a blistering attack upon Democratic rival Joe Biden, asserting that a Biden victory in November would only exasperate the racial strife and coronavirus pandemic besieging the nation. He portrayed Biden as a far-left extremist who would usher in a lawless, dangerous America. This election will decide whether we protect law-abiding Americans or whether we give free rein to violent, anarchic agitators and criminals who threaten our citizens, the president said. No one will be safe in Biden's America. Well, friends, yesterday, as the president was preparing to speak for this day number four, the Republican National Convention, leftist agitators were gathering outside the White House to show their disdain for American law enforcement. And we captured one of the audio clips where protesters are chanting near the White House, if we don't get it, I believe that's referring to justice, if we don't get it, burn it down. Burn it down. Let's listen in. Yes, if we don't get it, burn it down, as they shouted outside the White House yesterday. By the way, President Trump gave a very impassioned speech. I'm going to, there will be many clips we could share with you, but for time's sake, we're going to share just one in which he took a stand for life.
Joe Biden claims he has empathy for the vulnerable, yet the party he leads supports the extreme late-term abortion of defenseless babies right up until the moment of birth. Democrat leaders talk about moral decency, but they have no problem with stopping a baby's beating heart in the ninth month of pregnancy. Democrat politicians refuse to protect innocent life, and then they lecture us about morality and saving America's soul. Tonight, we proudly declare that all children, born and unborn, have a God-given right to life.
You see, if you don't have respect for life in the womb, how are you going to have respect for life outside the womb? If you don't have respect for the most vulnerable, ladies and gentlemen, how will you have respect for others? Again, as the protesters shouted yesterday, if we don't get it, burn it down. And friends, it's very disheartening to see what is going on with Kamala Harris as she was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And in regard to the protest, made some remarks that everyone beware. She said these riots are not going to let up, and she said they should not. Let's listen in.
That I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I
right,
had
that's right.
for the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. It is going to, they're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
And we
should not.
Hear that? Those riots, these protests, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And they should not. Well, some other highlights from this week. Maximo Alvarez, an immigrant who escaped communist Cuba, warned Americans during the Republican National Convention Monday night that he sees in the Democratic Party many of the things that he saw in Cuba, saying, quote, those false promises, spread the wealth, free education, free health care, defund the police, trust a socialist state more than your family and community. They don't sound radical to my ears. They sound familiar, he said. When Fidel Castro was asked if he was a communist, he said he was a Roman Catholic. He knew he had to hide the truth. Right now, it's up to us to decide our fate and to choose freedom over oppression, he said. Also, from thenewamerican.com, the Republican National Committee recently approved a resolution refuting the legitimacy of the Southern Poverty Law Center to identify hate groups. The resolution that was adopted by the RNC includes that the Southern Poverty Law Center is a far-left organization with an obvious bias, that they make a practice of incorrectly labeling persons and organizations as hate groups, and that the actions of the SPLC have served to mobilize persons to act in hate and violence toward those on its hate group. Incidentally, earlier this week, I reviewed some of the platform items from the DNC. The RNC did not adopt a new platform. They're just carrying over the same platform that they had from 2016. Newsmax.com, Vice President Mike Pence Wednesday cast the reelection of President Donald Trump as critical to preserving law and order and economic viability, asserting that Democratic rival Joe Biden would set America on a path to socialism and decline. In a speech, Pence said, let me be clear, the violence must stop, whether in Minneapolis, Portland, or Kenosha. Too many heroes have died defending our freedom to see Americans strike each other down. We will have law and order on the streets of this country for every American of every race and creed and color. WesternJournal.com reporting a convicted felon brought to tears when President Trump granted him a full pardon in a video that aired Tuesday during the second night of the presidential or the Republican National Convention. John Ponder, a born-again Christian and founder of the nonprofit group Hope for Prisoners, appeared in the broadcast alongside a former FBI agent, Richard Beasley, who had arrested Ponder in 2004, but the two of them have become close friends ever since. John's life is a beautiful testament to the power of redemption, Trump said in the video. We believe that each person is made of God, by God, for a purpose, the president added as well. This is also very interesting. Appearing on MSNBC, we have Nancy Pelosi, said that the Russians aren't the only ones trying to interfere with the 2020 elections. And folks, in this, she talks about the oath to defend the Constitution from all enemies, you know, both foreign and domestic enemies. And then she called the president of the United States an enemy of the state. I want you to hear it in her own words.
One thing I will say to the American people, do not pay any attention to Donald Trump. It is his goal to scare people from voting, to intimidate them by saying he's going to have law enforcement people at the polls, to welcome, in fact, Russian intervention into our election, letting Putin decide who will be president instead of the American people. But ignore him, because his purpose is to diminish the vote, to suppress the vote. And shame on the Republicans for enabling that to happen, But we don't agonize. We organize, and people are right to be concerned because the President of the United States is saying what he's saying. But don't pay any attention to him, because that's just a victory for those who want to have a lower turnout so that fewer people are engaged in the decision. And again, what happened in 2016 was discouraging. The Russians were there, and they are there now, 24/7, trying to interfere in our election. But they're not the only ones. We take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and wow. our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with their allies in the Congress of the United States. But again, let's just get out there and mobilize, organize, and not let the president deter anybody from voting. And again, support the postal system, which is election central. They're doing everything they can. Suppress the vote with your actions. Scare people, intimidate right. by saying law enforcement will be there. Diminish the role of the postal system in all of this. It's really actually shameful. Enemies of the state.
Enemies of the state. We swore to uphold our Constitution and protect it against enemies. Enemies of the state, you know, both foreign and domestic. Calling the one that lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue an enemy of the state and his allies. Steve Scalise said he was disgusted with this, being called a domestic enemy. He said Nancy Pelosi just called Republicans domestic enemies because she said the one at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and his allies. He said, I was shot because of this kind of unhinged rhetoric. Where's the media outrage? And then we have Hillary Clinton as well. Hillary is continuing to fan the flames of chaos, saying Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances. The statement came in an interview with Jennifer Palmieri, the former Obama White House communications director and communications director for Clinton's 2016 campaign. Let's listen in to Hillary Clinton's statement that Joe Biden should not concede.
In the recent Michigan primary, I was told in Detroit, the Republicans had 40 lawyers challenging absentee mail-in voting, and a local reporter talking to one of the lawyers he knew was told it was a dry run for November. So we've got to have a massive legal operation. I know the Biden campaign is working on that. We have to have poll workers, and I urge people who are able to be a poll worker. We have to have our own teams of people to counter the force of intimidation that the Republicans and Trump are going to put outside polling places. This is a big organizational challenge, but at least we know more about what they're going to do. And, you know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is.
Is this a forecast of the chaos that is planned to unfold in the voting process? And remember, she criticized President Trump earlier that we're afraid he's not going to concede the election. And now saying that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstance. By the way, last night after the convention at the White House, Senator Rand Paul was attacked by a crazed mob of more than 100 people after leaving the White House. Just got attacked by an angry mob of over 100, one block away. He thanked the D.C. Police Department for literally saving our lives from a crazed mob. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what was early man like?
Chris, early man was, of course, Genesis man, Adam and his descendants. But evolutionists have a different idea. They claim that the animals gave rise to the humankind. But as near as we can tell, man has always been intelligent and advanced. In 1991, the frozen carcass of a man who died over 3,000 years ago was found in Austria. Evolutionists expected that people from that era were rather primitive. But this guy had a framed backpack, a copper axe, was carrying dried fruit and other foods, a fire starting kit, and a first aid kit. He had a bow made out of the best wood available. He was fully human. And that's the biblical view. Man was created in Genesis, descended from Adam and Noah, fully human from the start. And that's the back to Genesis truth.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America, a Friday news roundup we're having today, and we've got tons of material. By the way, the Trump campaign did announce their second term agenda. They put forth a list of some 49 points. Here's just a few of them. Creating 1 million new small businesses, creating 10 million new jobs in 10 months, cut prescription drug prices, put patients and doctors back in charge of our health care system, cover all pre-existing conditions, bring back 1 million manufacturing jobs from China, provide school choice to every child in America, pass congressional term limits, drain the globalist swamp by taking on international organizations that hurt American citizens, to defend our police, bring violent extremist groups like Antifa to justice, block illegal immigrants from becoming eligible for taxpayer-funded welfare, health care, and free college tuition. He's got more than I can announce, but 49 points that he has released. Coming to us from Western Journal, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu thanked President Donald Trump and his administration for all that they have done for Israel following the meeting that he had with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo earlier this week. You've got to hear this. You've got to hear this next audio clip. Now, we're aware of the recent death of Robert Trump, the youngest brother of President Donald Trump. And I learned something this morning I had not known of before. And that is, I learned that Robert Trump had been praying for revival across our land, praying for revival. Now, an individual that had been at his memorial service, it was Pastor Clarence Sexton. He had the opportunity to speak before the President of the United States, his family, and 200 other friends and relations at a private funeral held at the White House for the President's brother, Robert Trump. I've got a brief couple-minute report, and this is excerpted from a message that Pastor Sexton communicated to his church after the event. It would appear that Robert Trump was praying for revival before his death. Let's listen to what the pastor had to share.
My wife and I had the most enjoyable, pleasurable time traveling to Washington, D.C. We met the Trump family on Thursday afternoon and evening, and then we went over to the White House on Friday for the funeral service. When it came time to conduct the service, then all the other family members and people who were connected with Robert Trump's life, and I had the opportunity to say anything that God put in my heart to say. I was able to give the gospel clearly, to talk about knowing Christ and who Christ is. And when I had finished, the president and his family had the kindest things to say. I'm not going to say too much about it. Someone said I was invited by the president. I was invited by Robert Trump's wife, Anne Marie. They've been watching our church services and listening to all that's going on here, even praying for Catherine, my sister. And when I talked to Robert last before he went to be with the Lord, he said, Pastor, I want you to know I'm praying with you for the revival I believe we must have in America. And my heart was stirred. He was a good man. He told me his faith was in Christ, and I praise God for that. And I want you to continue to pray for them. Pray for our president. He's under lots of pressure. And this is the loss of his baby brother and his best friend. And it's in a situation where there's very little opportunity to comfort a man because he's constricted so that he's going from one thing to the next. But in the private, secret times of his life, I want you to pray that God will minister to his heart. He loved his brother and loves his family. And I'm so thankful that he's the president of our United States. And I want you to pray for him. Robert had it right when he said what we must have in this country for the saving of America is a real revival. and I couldn't agree with him more. A good man, now with the Lord.
That was Pastor Clarence Sexton in regard to Robert Trump praying for revival across our land. Daily Wire reporting, radio host and journalist Jason Rance reported Tuesday evening, Seattle rioters used a substance suspected to be concrete to seal shut the door to the East Precinct of the Seattle Police Department. At the same time, the rioters tried to set fire to the building. ATF is now involved. Photos reviewed by the show appeared to indicate that the concrete mix and tools were used. The criminals at the 12th Street entrance reportedly mixed what is suspected to be cement mix and water in a bucket with a wooden stick and before applying it to the door. Photos show the criminals also destroyed the electronic key card off the door, presumably to further disable the ability of officers inside to enter or exit the building. On the East Pine Street side of the East Precinct, the criminals then started a fire. The intent appears to burn the building with the officers inside. A source told the reporter that the Seattle officers inside the department building had to kick the door open to exit the building and disperse the rioters. The alleged criminal rioters apparently used too much water in the cement mixture. Photos indicate it was too runny to fully seal the doorway shut. Folks, we're talking about rioters trying to seal shut police officers in the precinct, sealing the door, and setting fires to the building. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. We're told in the days of Noah, everyone did, you know, that which is right. Man did in his heart continuously that which was evil. And folks, we're seeing that evil manifested here once again. We have also, from WND.com, a group of Black Lives activists caught on video in three separate instances harassing diners in Washington, D.C. restaurants who refused their demands to raise a fist in solidarity. A lone woman in one video is seen surrounded by white activists raising their fist and shouting, "White silence is violence. White silence is violence." Later they chant, "No justice, no peace." In the other video, a couple is berated because they refuse to raise a fist as others have done around them. A male protester, Breitbart News reported, read a script from a mobile phone as fellow protesters repeated his remarks. "We're here tonight while you're dining because black people are dying at the hands of police," he said, according to the transcript. "So while you are dining, we're sorry for your inconvenience, but black people are dying today. While you're dining, we're going to read you some facts about the murder of black people. We're here tonight because Black Lives Matter. We're here tonight because black trans lives matter." The group shouted, "If you believe that black lives matter, if you believe that black trans lives matter, we ask you to raise your hand up in the air in solidarity with all black and brown murdered by the police. We demand you abolish the police." And some patrons who refused, you see the mobs of people screaming at them to raise their fist in solidarity. At one such location, one such table, you can hear the protester asking the person who was refusing to raise a fist, asking the question, "Are you a Christian?" From Western Journalism, a BLM activist in Portland, in a video shared Monday on Twitter, expressed her desire to have police officers strangled in the womb with their own umbilical cords. "Your mother's umbilical cord should have wrapped around your neck and choked you just the way you choked George Floyd, you filthy animal," she said. The BLM speaker then told her Marxist comrades that she was ready and willing to shoot police officers. "You think that you're a good person because you have a gun? My comrades already know. I tell them every Thursday night there in their face, I know you got a gun, but so do I." The clip ends with the activist proclaiming that cops should be hung and electrocuted. They need to hang you high, not hang you low. They need to send you to the electric chair and let you fry like a piece of burnt bacon. Folks, this is the outrage and the continued momentum of anger and violence that's hitting this nation. And then you got Kamala Harris saying protesters should continue on. They need to continue on. WND.com says a congressional staffer has gone to Twitter with a demand for the complete destruction of white men. The tweet was later deleted because her staffer's boss is a white man. Let's go to Kenosha, Wisconsin. Western Journal reporting a 71-year-old man in Kenosha, one of the faces of the destruction caused by the riots there, was brutally beaten, got his jaw broken because he wanted to defend his friend's business. Shows him being hit in the head with a plastic bottle, a bottle that was filled with concrete. The man can be seen as being helped as he falls to the ground, bleeding profusely. The collegefix.com says, in a statement of Black Lives Matter protests, the chair of the University of Oklahoma Department of Political Science has announced the removal of a swath of photos of retired professors that hang in the department's entryway, pointing out it consists only of white male faces. We will transform the entryway to our department on the second floor of Dale Hall Tower. This will be replaced with a space in which our current students can express themselves and represent their own voices. So we have the Clippers and the Lakers voting to boycott the rest of the NBA season over the shooting of Jacob Blake. They met Wednesday night after the Milwaukee Bucks team refused to come out of the locker room to play the Orlando Magic in Game 5 of the playoffs. Bucks players who were protesting over Blake's shooting prompted the league to suspend the rest of playful play, the playoff play, that is. Folks, this is why President Trump's saying the NBA has become been turned into a political organization. Let's go to Chicago. As we have the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, demanded that the Chicago Police Department ban protesters being able to demonstrate on her block, the block where she lives. Now, it's been okay encouraging, you know, other protests to take place. But last week, she and her families indicate they have heightened security because of the threats. But here we have... you're saying you can protest other places, just do not protest on our block. Coming back to Kenosha, Wisconsin, WTMJ Channel 4, here is a story about Wisconsin police chiefs are asking Governor Evers and Lieutenant Governor Barnes to stop making statements about Jacob Blake until the facts are known. Top Wisconsin law enforcement officials are warning Governor Tony Evers and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes to stop making statements regarding the police shooting of Jacob Blake until the facts of the investigation are known. According to their letter, previous remarks and statements made by each of you are premature, judgmental, inflammatory, and only add to the anger and divisiveness of an already dangerous situation. They said continued remarks like those already made by each of you have also put the lives of law enforcement officials, National Guardsmen, and the public at risk, the letter reads. Let's go to Portland. FreeBeacon.com reporting that the Portland Mayor, Ted Wheeler, who has yet to provide his police department with consistent directives to quell the riots, arson, and looting that have plagued the city for months, he told the Oregon Public Radio his strategy, and that is to let the violence burn itself out. What a strategy. WND.com reporting after the Austin City Council voted to defund the police department, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott and other top GOP officials have proposed freezing the ability to raise property taxes of any city that makes a similar move of defunding police in their state. Don't have time to go into it further. Yeah, Goodyear banned Blue Lives Matter and MAGA shirts, but allows Black Lives Matter and LGBT messages. WIBW, a local news station in Topeka, reported that a recent diversity training seminar at the Topeka Goodyear plant included a slide outlining the company's zero-tolerance policy. The image was posted to social media, apparently by an employee who says that the material originates from Goodyear corporate headquarters in Akron, Ohio. Listing as acceptable messages are Black Lives Matter and LGBT Pride, the unacceptable column consists of Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, MAGA attire, and political slogans. We understand President Trump called for a boycott of Goodyear, and the company responded with a lengthy statement saying the slide on the zero-tolerance policy was not created or distributed by Goodyear corporate, nor was it part of their diversity training. Well, interesting indeed where this is all going. I've got more. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a brief pre-recorded interview with our bookstore manager, Rick Bach, as they are celebrating 24 years. And Robert Morgan was with us earlier on Crosstalk, so we'll report on that right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's Fall, we send all. the letter G, As Runs the Glass, Man's Life Doth Pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-size hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer.
This is our 24th anniversary of the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. Joining me right now is Rick Bach, our bookstore manager. Good afternoon, Rick.
Good afternoon, Jim.
Rick, just a couple of weeks ago, we had here on Crosstalk Robert Morgan, author of Then Sings My Soul, a powerful three-book set.
Oh, this is a fantastic trio of books about hymns. The three-volume set has over 400 hymns with the words and music, plus the background story for each hymn. And all these stories you read are filled with practical application, and they'll encourage you and they'll strengthen your faith. And each book is around 300 pages long, so that's about 900 pages total. And the hymns are some that you know very well and some that you maybe have never heard of. A great gift idea or for yourself for reference.
You know, Rick, as he was with us and we offered these books, we directed them to the VCY bookstore because you have a special on this. And we said it's through August 31st. That is this Monday. And so we just wanted to bring back to let listeners know Monday is coming very quickly.
It is coming quickly. Do not procrastinate. And, you know, make that call. Check out VCY.com. Our regular price on this, Jim, is $59.97. We have it at 45% off. That's just $33 for this three-volume set.
And many people have been getting these as gifts and items. But, friends, we just wanted to bring this back because this does expire this coming Monday. Monday, you can go to VCY.com, or call 1-888-722-4829. And Rick, before I let you go, this is our 24th anniversary month. There is also something very special you have going this month, and what is the King James Version, what's called the Spurgeon Study Bible.
Yes, Charles Spurgeon preached to over 10 million people during his ministry in the 1800s, and his sermon notes are still in print. He's one of the most loved gospel preachers of all time. And this King James Version, Spurgeon Study Bible, has book introductions with his insights, his quotes throughout the Bible. There's a concordance, full-color maps, thousands of notes throughout the Bible. There's an index to his quotes, illustrations, and outlines. Comes in a leather touch cover with two colors, black, brown, and crimson, and has a comfortable print size. It's a great Bible for a gift, but it's a great Bible to own.
You know, what's so neat, Rick, is that people, as they open the study Bible, are going to see in the own handwriting of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Yeah, it's a great feature, and it has alongside it, just printed out, but it has in his own handwriting. It's just a neat feature to have in this Bible. Never seen that happen before.
Well, we certainly promote people to go to the Word of God, and this is a King James Version, Spurgeon Study Bible. Rick, normally $69.99.
Jim, 64% off. This Bible is only $25. We have this as a special. This price is incredible. And the Bible itself, if you could touch it and see it, there's no question in the world you'd want to purchase it.
And that's only through this coming Monday while supplies last.
That's right. And if we have a few left over after that, it would still be $25, but we don't know how long it will last.
Okay, so give us a point of contact again, a website and a toll-free number for the bookstore.
All right, our toll-free number is 888-722-4829, and our website is vcy.com, open 24 hours a day.
Again, folks, the Spurgeon Study Bible, this is King James Version, has a leather touch to it. They have it in the brown, black, or the crimson, and certainly this through the 31st, $25, normally $69.99, but what a tremendous offering during this 24th anniversary. Rick, thank you for making these resources available.
You're welcome, Jim.
That was Rick Bach from our VCY bookstore as we sat down with him yesterday, and just that update from that earlier Crosstalk interview, but congratulations, 24 years of ministry. As we continue with the news roundup today, it's very interesting that from WND.com, they report a few days ago, billionaire far-left mega donor George Soros told an interviewer that Donald Trump is dangerous and will do anything to stay in power. Soros was echoing Joe Biden's recent claim that, quote, it's my greatest concern, my single greatest concern, the president is going to try to steal this election. A Washington Monthly story headlined how Trump will try to steal the election claims. If voter suppression and foreign influence don't work, he'll contest the results. But isn't that interesting? They're accusing President Trump of wanting to contest the results, but they're telling Joe Biden, don't you concede the election. Okay, also from CNSNews.com, former Vice President Joe Biden has released a policy paper on his campaign website, which he lays out the plan for establishing free universal preschool for three-year-old children. The plan is called the Biden Plan for Mobilizing American Talent and Heart to Create a 21st Century Caregiving and Education Workforce. You want to sign up? FoxNews.com, a judge has ruled that a new election is going to be held in November for a disputed Patterson City Council seat just weeks after the race's apparent winner and a sitting councilman charged with voter fraud. ABC News reporting that 23,000 absentee ballots were rejected in Wisconsin's April primary. That's more than Trump won the state by in 2016. Then let's go to the Detroit News. Canvassers demand answers after 72% of Detroit's absentee ballots counts were off. 72% of the counts were off. Then let's go Western Journal. I wish I had time to develop these stories, but the clock's going faster than I am. Norwalk, California man charged with voting on behalf of his deceased mother in three different elections. The Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office announced Tuesday of this week. His mother died in July of 2006, according to the release, and he's been casting votes for his mother in elections in 2012, 2014 as well, and one other election. We understand if convicted faces up to 3 years in state prison. Speaking of voting, we're told about, we must do a universal ballot by mail. Folks, it is wrought with fraud. And ballots going to people who are deceased, ballots going to addresses where people no longer live. They failed to keep voting rolls pure and clean in so many states. And we've been warned that, you're going to put your life at risk if you go to the polls. Well, here we have from the activist mommy following Dr. Anthony Fauci's statement last week, Dr. Deborah Birx became the second White House coronavirus task force member to support in-person voting in the fall. She said, I can tell you it's been safe for me to go to Starbucks and pick up my order. If you go to Starbucks in the middle of Texas and Alabama and Mississippi, they have very high case rates, then I can't see that it would be different waiting in line for the polls. Hey, if you can go stand in line to get a cup of coffee, you can stand in line to vote. Coming from WND.com, Utah Governor Gary Herbert has no sympathy for parents objecting to his edict that children attending school either wear a mask or face possible criminal charges. He issued the mask mandate for grades kindergarten through 12th grade in July. The reopening of Utah's public schools has drawn new attention to the edict, which calls for a maximum punishment of 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine for showing up without one. The order applies equally to adults and children, and any charge would be a misdemeanor. Herbert said Thursday that parents opposed to his order are a little bit irrational, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. Guess what, though? Celebrities are getting a pass in New York, as it's being reported that in spite of the strict policies to halt the import of coronavirus from out of state, New York is giving a handful of celebrities a pass in order to perform at this year's MTV Video Music Awards. While the average traveler coming from any of the 34 states, Cuomo's list of high-risk hotspots would be made to quarantine for 14 days upon arrival in New York. Well, artists like Lady Gaga and Miley Cyrus and others have been given a semi-exemption to the policy. Cuomo's office explained that the partial exemption, noting that performers can participate in the production of the show, but they'll only interact with other members of the cast and crew will quarantine while not working. Here we have a mask order. Whitman County, Washington State, reports WesternJournal.com that this is a place that is close to the Idaho border. Officials in Pullman, the home of Washington State University, apparently dealing with citizens who are not wearing masks. Some people apparently refused to follow Governor Inslee's mask mandate with a letter, and now they're having their freedom threatened with a warning from the Pullman Police Department. In fact, residents who refuse the mask mandate or other health orders could face up to a year in jail, 365 days in jail, and a fine up to $100,000. Violations of the governor's proclamations not only put the violator's health at risk, but the health of our entire community, said the police chief, Gary Jenkins of the Pullman Police Department. JetBlue kicked off a mom and six kids from a flight. Why? Because their baby, a two-year-old with a pacifier, did not wear a mask. LifeSiteNews.com. Epidemiologists at Yale School of Public Health praise the proven benefits of hydroxychloroquine in fighting COVID-19, saying, I conclude the evidence is overwhelming, Harvey Reich told Mark Levine. He said there's no question that in the people who need to be treated, they are treated early. Hydroxychloroquine has a very substantial benefit in reducing the risk of hospitalization or mortality. He accused the opponents of HCQ, a use of being engaged in a massive disinformation campaign that stretches from the government to the media that's either suppressing this message or is countering it with a false message. Death toll mounting as the FDA denies HCQ for outpatient therapy, reports Dr. Elizabeth Valit, talking about the denial of HCQ, and she saying that approximately 48,000 more Americans have died during the FDA's 48-day delay since this emergency use authorization was requested July 1st. And let's see. Boy, I've got so many stories here. Here we have Biden claimed last week at his party's convention that Trump's response has been the world's worst in coronavirus. Judge this president on the facts, 5 million Americans infected with COVID-19, Biden said. More than 170,000 Americans have died, by far the worst performance of any nation on earth. President Trump has responded, though, saying our rates per capita are less than many other nations. Wish I had time to develop that more further. Here we have from USA Today, defeat COVID-19 by requiring vaccination for all. It's not un-American, it's patriotic. Folks, have you lined up for your patriotic vaccination? Make vaccines free, don't allow religious or personal objections, and create disincentives for those who refuse vaccines shown to be safe and effective. This is Dr. Michael Letterman, Maxwell Melman, and Dr. Stuart Younger. Stated in their opinion piece, to win the war against this novel coronavirus that has killed nearly 163,000 people in this country, the only answer is compulsory vaccination for all of us. We believe there's no alternative. Simply put, getting vaccinated is going to be our patriotic duty. Exempt only those with medical contradictions to immunization, he said. How can government and society ensure compliance with protective vaccines? Vaccine refusers could lose tax credits or be denied non-essential government benefits. Health insurance could levy higher premiums. Private businesses could refuse to employ or serve unvaccinated individuals. Schools could refuse to allow unimmunized children to attend classes. Public and commercial transit companies could exclude refusers from using their systems. Immunized persons will need to receive expiration date stamped certification cards. Interesting indeed. By the way, there's a mandate that's been in Texas on vaccines for kids in public school, even if learning online, even if online. And let's see, I'm going to quickly move on. Yeah, coronavirus vaccine should be mandatory, says the Prime Minister of Australia. And let me just... Let me give out our phone number. As we're going into our last segment here, I've got another full program of news. But if you would like to make a brief comment today, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We've only got about 7.5 to 8 minutes in our final segment, so only brief comments here today. See what you can say within 30 to 40 seconds with your comment. Keep it brief, right to the point. 800-733-9829. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. We now have on video Patricia Kaluers, one of the three founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, declaring, quote, "We are Marxist trained," end quote, as if there was any doubt. Yet sadly, new surveys reveal 63% of Americans respect the Black Lives Matter movement. Did you know that Eric Mann, formerly with the Weather Underground, spent a decade mentoring Patricia Kaluers? Well, what did he stand for? All we have to do is look to the 1974 political manifesto of the Weather Underground to find out. Quote, our final goal is the destruction of imperialism, the seizures of power, and the creation of socialism. End quote. By imperialism, he means the free market system. They go on to talk about using racism, black liberation movement, to seize control of America. Nothing is new under the sun.
By the way, have you seen about the school district in Tennessee that has been asking parents to sign a waiver saying they won't observe online class? They don't want parents to know what it is that they are teaching their children online? Well, evidently, Western Journal reporting a school district in Tennessee now facing criticism after parents were asked to refrain from listening in during their children's online classroom instruction. Rutherford County Schools, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, asked parents to sign a form agreeing to give teachers privacy with students, according to Fox News. The district soon came under fire. School District Communications Director James Evans said, we've issued new guidance to principals that parents should refrain from sharing or recording any information about other students in the classroom. That's not what the intent was to begin with. They asked parents to agree not to monitor kids' online classes. They were concerned about helicoptering parents. Our time is brief. Folks, keep your comments, maybe 30 seconds if you can. 800-733-9829. David in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. And then as I've learned from BCY, and thanks for doing all the news, that we should all stand against taking any vaccination because it stands for Certificate of Vaccination ID. So we got to all stand as a body of Christ and stand for the Lord.
Thank you for your thoughts. Jim in Brookfield, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm assuming that you're not in every state in the nation. Are there Christian stations in other states
that are
bringing all of these things up?
Well, there are a number of stations that come on and affiliate with Crosstalk that pick up this program. There's just over 125 outlets that are picking this up across the nation. But, Jim, what we encourage people to do is to take links in this program, share it with others. It's available free on our website, crosstalkamerica.com, for people to use social media and other means to help get out the word.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, we're on a number of platforms as well. Tom calling from Port Wing. You're on the air.
Yes, in regards to Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton blabbing the secrets of the DNC and what their strategy is. Back during World War II, we had a saying, loose lips sink ships. And I hope their ship goes down because of their blabbing mouths.
Thank you for your thoughts. Our number 800-733-9829. Randy in Toma, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. I guess there's a couple of comments I wanted to make. Just the other day I received something in the mail, supposedly from a Republican Party in Madison for an absentee ballot. And this struck me very strangely.
What? The mailings are going out all over the country. This is a form that you can send to your election office that allows you to request an absentee ballot. So that's what those mailings are. It allows you to request absentee ballot from your election officials.
Yeah. Well, I just want to make one other quick comment to Jim, is that private property, the denial of it, and part of private property is the use of it. The root of this is communism. If someone really knows anything about communism, that's what you're dealing with.
Thank you, Randy. I got to run here. Our number 800-733-9829. Let's go to Racine. AB, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, thank you for repeating President Trump's speech. It just blew me away that God can use that man to try to turn them back to him regarding killing these babies. These people don't understand. If we don't end abortion is going to end America. And God put those words that would encourage us to stand. I just thank God for the saints that do come out and plead for these babies' lives and try to turn their hearts back to God.
Amen.
But it was just a wonderful speech, and we are blessed to have President Trump, because if we lose him, we're going to lose America.
Thank you for your thoughts, A.B. Let's go to Judy. You're on the air, Judy.
I called in for something to give you off air.
Okay, well, this is our on-air call-in number. You'll have to call our main switchboard. Joanne in Sun City, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just going to relate to you that in the primaries here, my son and his wife went to vote at Litchfield Park, Arizona, and my son had a Trump hat on, and they told him that he couldn't vote if he didn't take the hat off.
Hmm.
And Mark said, I know that there was a law passed a year and a half ago in Arizona that you could wear a hat like I have on to a voting place. And they weren't even voting for Trump then.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the primary. And she said, well, you'll have to take your hat off or we won't give you a ballot.
Right.
She said, we've already had people here before that we turned away because they wouldn't take their hat off. So, of course, he took his hat off. But
mm-hmm.
It's kind of one-sided from our point of view anyway, from our family. So
okay.
That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. We've got Terry in Oregon. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for the program. I appreciate it day after day. God bless you guys. Quick question. I did not watch the Democratic National Convention, but I have heard that they took the phrase "One Nation Under God" out of their pledge when they said it. Is that true?
It is true. It happened in two of the four caucus groups that were meeting for the DNC. It was the Muslim caucus group, and as a matter of fact, we covered this last Friday on the program, or this past Monday on the program, rather. This past Monday, you can go back and listen to it, both that group as well as the LGBT caucus group as well, that cut out the words "under God" from the pledge.
Thank you.
Thank you. Greg in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I am definitely a Trump supporter. He kept every promise he made. I'm 67 years old. He's the first politician in my lifetime that ever kept the promises he made. Joe Biden hasn't come out of the basement in, 70-some days. He has absolutely nothing on his agenda for the next few weeks. And the elections here, I've never seen anything quite like it. I think the American people are waking up and Trump will win by a landslide, and I hope and pray that happens.
Thank you for your thoughts here today. I apologize to others. We've run out of time here on the program today, but friends, again, I've just covered a portion. I've covered maybe got through about half the stories they had today, but the important aspect is to be understanding of the times, to be praying for our nation, be praying for the election coming up here on November 3rd, and to be salt and light. Don't live in fear. As Gary Frazier talked about yesterday, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. By the way, quick note, those of you who have been waiting for your socialism books by Bill Federer, the truck just arrived here over the lunch hour today. They are being packaged up as we speak. Lord willing, will be out in the afternoon mail. So thank you for your patience in waiting for those. They ran out, had to go back to the printers and get some more made up. So those will be to you shortly. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us. And indeed, let's keep our nation in prayer. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.